Why don't you just preach John 3:16 and quit offending everybody? That's what a lot of people think. And there's just too much negative preaching, just too much preaching on this religion, too much preaching on that religion, too much preaching on this practice among churches of Christ, too much preaching on that practice among churches of Christ, too much preaching on this particular doctrine, and too much preaching on that particular. Why don't you just preach John 3:16 and quit offending everybody? Well, in John 3:16, that's a beautiful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And by the way, a lot of people misunderstand that verse. When it says God so loved the world, it's not talking about the amount of his love. It's talking about the nature of his love. That's how he loved the world. He loved the world so, in such a way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are those who seem to think it is wrong to offend the different religious groups by preaching on controversial subjects, and that was to just preach the core gospel, John 3:16, and let people change as they find the gospel applicable to them. But will we, can we, excuse me, I advanced too fast there. Will we, can we, just preach John 3:16 and leave everybody alone? Can we just preach John 3:16 and not offend anybody? Is that even possible? I don't believe it is. We can't preach John 3:16 without atheists being offended because they don't believe in God. They don't even like it that our money has in God we trust on it. They don't even like it that the Pledge of Allegiance says one nation under God. You know, all they really have to do is not say the pledge and not take any money. That would take care of that, wouldn't it? They would have no reason to be offended. Some people don't want to be offended no matter what we do. Some people would be offended if you hung them with a new loaf. And that would be, you know, that would be sad. In fact, I hang somebody. There was a time when people were hung in this nation, and after being convicted of capital offenses. But you can't preach John 3:16 without offending atheists, because it says for no one, and they don't believe in God. They don't like it when you preach about God. It's interesting to me that there are whole churches made up of homosexuals, and they don't like it when you preach against homosexuality. And you won't hear homosexuality preached against in those churches. I don't understand why they want to worship God, who condemns the activities in which they are engaged on a regular basis. My daughter asked me not too long ago, where did people go when they died before Jesus? I thought they went to the same place that they went to when they died after Jesus. The righteous went to Abraham's bosom, and the wicked went into torment to await the judgment. They said, well, what about atheists? I said, well, there will be no atheists in hell. She said, well, where would they go? I said, well, they will go to hell, but they won't be atheists anymore. They'll know, Jesus, that there is a God. But you can't preach John 3:16 without atheists being offended because they don't believe in God and they don't want to hear it. We can't preach John 3:16 without feminists being offended because they believe that God is a she. I remember several years ago, you may or may not remember it, if you're not as old as me, you may not, when Helen Reddy received, I guess it was a Grammy, for one of her songs, and I like her singing all that. But she goes up to accept the award, whatever it was, and she said, "I want to thank God for everything she's done for me." And yeah, that's the way it's done in this thing. And you can't preach John 3:16 because for God to love the world, he, not she, gave his, not her, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It believes out of the she. You can't preach John 3:16 without offending them. And that's sad that they would be offended at that. As a matter of fact, there has been such a protest over the masculine pronouns with reference to God that there has actually been a non-gender specific Bible published for our parents. So loved the world. I guess it's she. I don't know what it says there. But there's no he there. No him. Our parent which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A non-gender specific Bible where God is concerned because somebody was so afraid of offending feminists. And maybe you've seen the thing on Facebook, the Proud Whopper, that somebody's so afraid of offending people who are different by choice, though they say it is not a choice. We can't preach John 3:16 without Jews being offended because they don't believe God gave his only begotten Son. They believe in God. They believe in the Old Testament promise of a Messiah, but they do not believe that Jesus is that Messiah. They do not believe that Jesus, or anyone else for that matter, was God's only begotten Son, or is God's only begotten Son. They don't believe God ever had a begotten Son on this earth, except in the sense that he created Adam, and therefore through Adam he is the father of all. There is that truth that God is the father of all, and therefore there is a brotherhood of man. But it takes more than being a part of the brotherhood of man to get to heaven. We must be a part of God's spiritual household, and that includes those who not just believe on God, but believe on his only begotten Son. The Jews don't believe in that fulfillment of that promise. They don't believe that is anything really having to do with the promise of a Messiah. They did not understand, and they still do not think that the Messiah will be a human being born into this world. I don't know really understand what their concept is, but they do not accept Jesus as the only begotten Son. So we can't preach John 3:16 without offending Jews. We can't preach John 3:16 without Calvinists being offended because they don't believe whosoever will may come. Now, I know that there are people who consider themselves Calvinists who say, well, I believe this verse, that whoever believes in him should not perish. There are some Calvinists who believe that man has a free will, that man can believe. But your hardcore Calvinists, and I believe those who are consistent with what John Calvin taught, believe that God has already decided who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. It's not a matter of anybody choosing to believe. If God elected you unconditional to salvation, one day you'll be saved. If he didn't, you won't. And if you're saved, it won't be because you decided to believe and repent and obey. It'll be because God sent the Holy Spirit to directly operate upon your heart and so change your heart that you responded in a voluntary obedience to God. So if you preach it, and you preach it like it is intended to be preached, you're going to offend those who believe that God has already decided who's going to heaven, and it doesn't matter whether you believe or not if you weren't unconditionally elected by God. And so you can't preach it without offending Calvinists. We can't preach John 3:16 without Jehovah's Witnesses being offended, because they believe everyone will perish. Seventh-day Adventists believe the same thing, that when you die, you're dead all over, like little dog Wilbur. He just ceased to exist. There's no consciousness after death. There's no purgatory. I don't believe in purgatory, but they would also say there is no Hades. There is no unseen realm of the dead where members of the human race that have died are conscious of their state. Now, Jesus said that there was such a state, an unseen state, Hades, which simply is Greek for the unseen. When he told about the rich man and Lazarus, how that the rich man, he was wealthy and he ate a big old meal every day, and here was this man Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, who was always hungry and just wishing for crumbs from the rich man's table. No indication that the rich man ever gave them to him. His only company was the dogs. I don't know whether they were a source of comfort when they licked his sores or whether that aggravated the pain. But they both died. Jesus said the rich man lifted up his eyes in torment, and he sees afar off on the other side of the gulf Abraham and Lazarus in his embrace. And he says, Abraham, send Lazarus, and he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Pretty soon can't send him. And the rich man said, well, then send him to my father's house, because I've got five brothers. I don't want them to come to be where I am. But he said, no, I can't send them back there either. Besides, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They said, oh, no, they won't. They got to listen. They got to hear from somebody that's been dead, somebody that knows where I am, somebody that knows the torment I'm going through, and somebody that knows that I don't want them here. You know, oftentimes we hear somebody, well, you know, my wife's in hell, that's where I'm going. If my husband's in hell, I want to be with her. Well, if your loved one is in hell, they don't want you there, because they love you. He didn't want his five brothers there. Send Lazarus back to my father's house. Abraham said, no. If they got Moses and the prophets, then they got the Old Testament. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they repent, though one be raised from the dead. That tells us that's what they needed to do, and that tells us what the rich man needed to do. That tells us why he was where he was, and Lazarus was where he was. It wasn't because he was rich that he was in hell. It's because he was not penitent. He was a man who needed to repent and had refused to do so. His brothers needed to repent. He knew that. Lazarus, though he was poor and full of sores, his heart was right. There was no need for repentance there. That's why they were where they were after they died, not just because that one was rich and the other was poor. And so there is life after death. That is, there is a conscious existence after death. Now, we need to admit and understand that though the rich man was conscious after death, he would not have viewed himself as living. And certainly the Bible teaches that after the judgment, those who go to hell, they will not be living. Because hell, or existence in hell, is referred to as eternal punishment or eternal death. And so none of us will ever cease to exist. Or we may lose consciousness in this life and be unconscious of what's going on. But when we die, our conscious existence will continue. Whether we'll be alive or not in eternity depends upon how we've lived our lives here on the earth. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that, no, when you die, that's it. There is no soul that goes to Hades. There is no soul that is in torment. There is no soul in Abraham's bosom. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, Seventh-day Adventist faith and things like that. He just ceased to exist. That's all that is. That's what death is. A cessation of existence. Well, John 3:16 says some will perish. It implies that. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Goes up. Now, everybody's going to perish. Everybody's going to cease to exist. Now, they do teach in what they call a resurrection. But how can you resurrect something that no longer exists? What they call resurrection is actually a recreation. In other words, some of those who have ceased to exist will exist again, recreated. But it's not a resurrection. They believe everyone will perish. And so you can't preach John 3:16 really without offending them. Also, we can't preach John 3:16 without materialists being offended. Because they do not believe anyone will have everlasting life. The difference between a Jehovah's Witness and a materialist, or a difference between the Seventh-day Adventist and materialist, though both Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists believe that men cease to exist when they die, the materialist believes that they'll never live again. That matter is all there is. That we're just matter in motion. That's all we are. No spirit, no soul, no different from dogs and cats and horses and mice, roaches. Just matter in motion. No everlasting soul. And they're forced to believe that because they are, for the most part, atheists, and there is no God, so why should there be a soul? We just evolved anyway. Funny how we evolved into just two sexes and not a multitude of sexes. Funny how, you know, if you ever thought about this, if man essentially evolved from lower forms of life, and nobody denies that man has gone through changes, certainly man has evolved technologically in other ways. But man did not evolve from lower species or from less complex forms of life. Who taught man what to eat and what not to eat? Who taught man about sexual reproduction? I believe we all understand that an individual has to be taught the facts of life or you'll never know them. And the big problem in this world is people learn those facts. They learn them in a skewed sort of way, from unreliable sources, and they do not have an appreciation for the morality that is to be involved in sexual reproduction, that God put that responsibility in marriage. Only married people are to reproduce. So we got a lot of people out there that they don't know much at all about that. They know some, but not much at all. And they pray on other people because they don't believe in God. They're just materialists. Other people exist simply for their pleasure, and they take their pleasure. We've all seen these things in the news. The three women in Chicago, and held for, 20 years, I think, one of them. That man didn't have an appreciation for God, for the immortal soul. He'd have been offended if you talked to him about moral responsibility, which is implied in this verse. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a moral responsibility there, to believe in Jesus. Monkeys can't do that. Kittens can't do that. Dogs, horses, they can't believe in Jesus. They're not capable of doing that. They weren't created for that purpose. They weren't created in God's image. Materialists don't like it when you talk about everlasting life. That makes them look bad because they don't believe in everlasting life. They believe when you die, that's going to be it. There's never going to be another existence. Obviously, then, we cannot even preach John 3:16 without offending somebody. We're going to offend several groups of people if we preach John 3:16. I'm not saying just quote it. A lot of people don't mind if you just quote it. There are some people that don't even like it when you quote Scripture. For example, you quote Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, he who believes not will be condemned. That's your opinion. No, that's what Jesus said. You quote Acts 2:38, where Peter told over 3,000 believers to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's your opinion. No, that's what an inspired man was led by the Holy Spirit to say. You read where Paul wrote to the church at Rome, the churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. Oh, that's your opinion. Now, that's what Paul wrote by inspiration. He was writing to the Romans from the city of Corinth, and in Corinth and in a couple of other nearby cities, there were churches of Christ. That's all you read about in the first century, churches of Christ. Somebody said, well, that's the church of God over in Southern America. Yeah, Christ is God, and so churches of Christ are churches of God. That takes more than a name to make you right. There'd be nothing wrong, I don't believe, in us calling ourselves the Board of Seals Church of God, the Board of Seals Assembly of God. There'd be a lot of scriptural names that we could use, but we choose to identify ourselves in such a way that people are away from home looking for a place to worship and have a pretty good idea that if they come here, they'll hear the truth and to not be exposed to any practices that are not in line with any truth. Now, the name alone won't guarantee that. I have stopped with and worshipped with churches that had Church of Christ on the sign outside and heard things that I didn't believe were in the Bible. And I'm talking about things that almost everybody would say is error. I'm not talking about controversial subjects within the church. For example, I heard one guy preach that on Wednesday night, because I didn't do due diligence in finding a place to stop, he said, water baptism puts you into the death of Christ, but spirit baptism puts you into the life of Christ. But the Bible doesn't teach that anyone today can or should be or can be even baptized with the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is the one baptism, Ephesians 4 verse 6. It's the water, it's a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it's the only baptism that has any authority being preached or practiced today. We cannot even preach John 3:16 without offending somebody. And since some will be offended anyway, we might as well go ahead and preach the whole counsel of God and offend everybody. That's what Paul said to the Ephesian elders when he met them in Miletus. Therefore I testify to you this day, that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I don't believe Paul ever preached intending to offend anyone. I don't believe Jesus ever preached intending to offend anyone. But whether anyone was offended was never a consideration in what they preached. I don't know if you've ever heard the term. I've heard it. Oh, he can preach it round or flat. You probably got an idea of what that means, but you probably don't know where that originated. In the time of Galileo, Most people believe that the earth was flat, and the official position of the Catholic Church was that the earth was flat. Because the Bible mentions the four corners of the earth, therefore it must be flat and square. But Galileo demonstrated that the earth was more spherical in shape. Well, the church was offended at that, and he was excommunicated for that. And so after that, and of course he proved that, Magellan proved it, he sailed around the world, he was the first one, not Chris Columbus, but Magellan was the first one, Ferdinand Magellan, circumnavigated the earth, proving that the earth was indeed spherical. After that, whether the earth was round or flat became a test for preachers. And so that was one of the questions that was asked. Well, do you preach the earth round or flat? Well, I preach it round. Or I preach it flat. Or some would say, well, I preach it round or flat. It doesn't matter to me. And that means you'll preach it just any old way they want to hear it. That's the kind of preacher that doesn't want to offend anybody. And he will allow the possibility of offending some to determine what he preaches. That wasn't the way it was with Paul. It wasn't the way it was with Jesus. That wasn't the way it was with any of the apostles. That ought not to be the way it is with any gospel preacher today. Preach the whole counsel of God. You don't have to preach the whole counsel of God every Sunday. Some used to accuse me of doing that. I preached a lesson last about an hour. Well, you didn't have to tell us everything you knew about in that 1 hour or in that one sermon. And I've tried to do it a little bit better. The last few years, and not preach so long, dividing my sermons up into series, but sooner or later, if it's in the Bible, I need to be preaching on it if I haven't. And if there's anything you think I'm avoiding, you need to call that to my attention, because I don't need to be avoiding any Bible subject. Period. Not just so that I won't offend you, but I ought not to be avoiding it anyway. But especially I ought not be avoiding it to keep from offending anybody. I should not preach anything to offend, but not, neither should I refrain from preaching anything for fear of offending. On one occasion, Jesus' disciples came and said, don't you know the Pharisees were offended by what you said? And he said, if a blind leads the blind, don't you follow the ditch? It was not a consideration of Jesus whether they were offended. Hey, Jesus made some comments, a lot of people were made looking wide and said, well, you just preaching without love. Well, Jesus never preached without love, but he preached what needed to be heard. Matthew chapter 23, he excoriated the Pharisees and scribes. I don't know how many times he called them hypocrites. That might be a good thing to do sometimes. Go down to account the number of times he called the Pharisees and scribes hypocrites. But they needed to hear that, because that's what they were. And the people needed to hear that, because they were allowing those hypocrites, the Pharisees and the scribes, to judge them for doing things that were wrong, or for not doing things that were just matters of tradition. Jesus taught the truth. He taught the truth in love. And yet some were offended. We're to preach the truth in love.